Well, now we travel from Britain to Florida and discuss a story involving a massage parlor chain, a Chinese-born businesswoman, and big Trump donor selling Chinese business executives access to President Trump and his family. Li Yang, who calls herself Cindy, came to the States about 20 years ago and founded a chain of spas and massage parlors. Turns out that Robert Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots, was charged with soliciting prostitution at a Jupiter, Florida spa that Yang used to own. More recently, she founded a consulting firm called GYUS Investments, offering Chinese investors access to the president, his family, and members of the administration, raising questions about pay to play. According to our guest, Yang is also affiliated with two groups with ties to the Chinese government, raising concerns about blackmail and espionage. Well, here to tell us more is Daniel Shulman, and he is D.C. Bureau Chief for Mother Jones, joining us from the NPR studios in Washington, D.C. Daniel Shulman, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with Li Yang. What do we know about her? She's been living in the U.S. for about, what, 20 years?
She's been living in the U.S. for about 20 years. According to her bio, she says that she worked as a journalist in Silicon Valley before, I guess, relocating to Florida and founding this chain of about five massage parlors and a beauty school. and around 2015 or 2016, she had never sort of displayed any political leanings, really. And she really plunged into politics, first helping to organize events for Jeb Bush and then backing Donald Trump. She was appointed to a Republican committee for Asian Americans, and it was also at this time where she became involved with two of these organizations that, as we reported, have links to the Chinese government.
And let me pick up on all of that. This chain, Orchids of Asia, is the chain that she and her family, as I understand it, own. Do they own any spas today or any massage parlors today?
Yes. Actually, the Orchids of Asia is the one that they don't own. Their chain is called Tokyo Spas. And they own a few to this day. She was starting some of these and flipping them, from what we can tell.
And is there any evidence of sex trafficking with her spas, massage parlors?
The Miami Herald reported that some of the parlors that her family owns have gained a reputation for offering sexual services, and at least two occasions reports have been made to the police about this.
But she says she's never been charged, and apparently she's never been charged with any of this.
Exactly, and she's denied any wrongdoing. And to be clear, she isn't implicated in anything related to the Kraft bust.
Well, what's so interesting is that it was photos of Kraft with Trump that led to photos of Li Yang and Trump, which I think sort of opened up this whole Pandora's box.
Exactly. I think, you know, the Miami Herald was the first to break the story of the fact that the former owner of this location where Kraft was arrested for allegedly soliciting prostitution was also, you know, pictured with Donald Trump at this recent Super Bowl party, as well as with a host of other Republican power brokers.
So tell us about this company, this firm that she started. I called it GYUS Investments. I'm hoping that's the name of it. But
that's right.
Explain what it offers and who the clients have been.
Well, so she started this company in 2017 along with her husband, and it offered a range of services, but one of them was, and this is literally spelled out on their website in Chinese, that they offer interactions with the president and members of Congress. They offer to arrange photo ops with the president. And they say they can arrange White House and congressional dinners. Now, some of this I'm a bit dubious about, but there's clear evidence that she was squiring Chinese business executives to various functions, including the New Year's Eve party at Mar-a-Lago, as well as a Republican National Committee fundraiser in New York that took place in 2017. And that really raises a lot of questions because foreign nationals cannot donate to campaigns. Green card holders can. But at this event that 400 people attended, there were as many as 100 Chinese nationals, which is extremely unusual. And the big question is who paid for them to attend.
Because do we know?
No, we don't. It was $2,700 a head to go at a minimum. And that's a big open question. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if the authorities might be investigating that now.
Is the implication that Li Yang paid for all these Chinese to go to this fundraiser?
It's unclear, but that's possible. But the question is, if she was reimbursed or if she was paid by them, that would be a violation of the law.
There are photos of her of some of these executives at Mar-a-Lago. What do they reveal?
You know, they show some of these executives posing with Donald Trump Jr., with Eric Trump. There's photos of people with the president's sister, Elizabeth Trump Grau. Now, it's unclear what they were actually trying to achieve. Now, one of the people that did attend the New Year's Eve party and flew 17 hours from China to do so was runs an electric car company. And he said, he told Yahoo that one of the reasons why he wanted to attend was to promote his brand in the hopes of getting his company listed on the New York Stock Exchange at some point. So he had a very specific objective. In the case of some of the others who Yang was helping out, it's possible that they were using these photo ops with the president or with members of his family as a type of currency back home in China, where connections are incredibly, incredibly important. And there's a word, Guangxi, that people use for well-connected people. So it's possible that some of this was not intended to influence U.S. policy, but was intended to work back at home.
Well, which does raise a question: was this this company, this firm, GYUS Investments, were they just sort of over-promising their clients, you know, access when all they really ended up with was a photograph?
It might have been that a lot of these people just wanted the photograph to show. But then again, the ability of these executives to get in that type of proximity to the president and his family raises a number of kind of alarming questions, national security questions, especially given Yang's association with two organizations that have close ties to the Chinese government. Now, to be clear, there's no evidence that she was involved in any type of espionage, but that's often not exactly how this works. Because of her affiliation with these groups, including the Florida chapter of the Council for the Promotion of Peaceful Reunification, which is a branch of one of many of an organization founded in China, and it's under the oversight of the Chinese government, and they use that to project influence abroad and keep tabs on the Chinese diaspora.
You know, Daniel, hold on to that thought only because
sure.
We're very up on our break here. Daniel Shulman, D.C. Bureau Chief for Mother Jones. Much more after this very short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoe-Wayne talking with Daniel Shulman. He's D.C. Bureau Chief for Mother Jones and has been covering this ever-evolving story involving a massage parlor chain owned by a Chinese-born businesswoman and allegations of selling business executives access to President Trump and his family. You can join our conversation. Any questions or comments, that phone number is 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. You can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Daniel, you were describing, besides having this company that hooked business executives up with the Trump family or the Trump administration, there was this Council for the Promotion of the Peaceful Reunification of China that Cindy Yang or Yang Li was Li Yang was affiliated with. Can you flesh that out for us?
Sure. There are chapters of this organization throughout the world, and the Chinese government basically uses it to project its influence. It is under the direct oversight of a Chinese agency called the United Front Work Department, and Yang was one of the founding members of the Florida chapter, and Chinese consular officials attended it and sent congratulatory notes. Now, the issue that's raised here is, and again, there's no evidence that she was directly involved in any type of espionage.
Right.
But the Chinese government would have been well aware of her activities and could have easily exploited that. And the issues raised here are much bigger than just Cindy Yang, really. It goes to the heart of the president's ongoing conflicts of interest with his business interests, which he has done not nearly enough to separate himself from. And you've seen numerous examples of people using their proximity and access to the president, including at Mar-a-Lago, to promote their private interests or pet causes.
Let me pick up on a couple of things. In terms of her association with the Council for the Promotion of the Peaceful Reunification of China, that's the idea that China would absorb Taiwan, I guess, and make one China. That is in direct opposition to U.S. policy. Are there questions about what this means about U.S. policy?
I mean, well, I think the big question is we've been engaged in these contentious trade negotiations with China, and stuff like this has been happening behind the scenes where Chinese nationals may very well be trying to affect the outcome of policy here.
Because the Chinese government allegedly knew what was going on, but perhaps the U.S. government did not.
I think it's very likely that the Chinese government was aware that Cindy Yang was offering to squire Chinese executives to Republican Party fundraisers and to Mar-a-Lago, where they could rub elbows with not just the president and his family, but other people that are in his circle. And you certainly saw her, very openly advertising both on the website of her company and on her Facebook page encounters she had with the head of the Republican National Committee, Ronna McDaniel, Kellyanne Conway, Ron DeSantis, Elaine Chao, Rick Scott. I mean, the list really went on and on.
What do U.S. intelligence agencies, what do they say about this?
You know, they're not talking about this specific episode, but in recent years, intelligence officials have been very concerned about covert Chinese influence in the United States. So it would stand to reason that this is something that would be worrisome to them. Former intelligence community officials who have commented on this story have just said that it raises huge, huge national security risks. At this point, it's unclear how someone like Yang would have been able to get so close to the president, given that her affiliations might have raised some questions. And it's unclear what type of vetting procedures are used at Mar-a-Lago or whether it's just a matter of paying your membership dues.
Well, let me pick up on that. I'm assuming that when anyone is close to the president, there are, for instance, Secret Service, or you have to go through a metal detector. There's some kind of security that protects the president from people who might do him harm. Are you saying at places like Mar-a-Lago, it's much more lax than that?
Well, I think there are certainly security procedures to prevent people from doing him harm. There are not as many procedures in place for people putting ideas in his mind and talking to him. Those don't seem to exist. Otherwise, some of the people that have come through Mar-a-Lago, probably wouldn't be there.
Well, do we know the kind of vetting that takes place at a place like Mar-a-Lago?
No, and that's something that we asked about.
And the answer being?
They didn't respond. And so far, the White House response has been solely, the president doesn't know Cindy Yang. And they refused to address the other questions raised by her activities.
And for U.S. intelligence experts, spying, blackmail, these are the things that at least concern them at this point?
Espionage, blackmail, influence. It's, at Mar-a-Lago, you could very easily insert a spy, basically, who is not just who's picking up intelligence from people who are in the president's orbit that could be useful in some way.
Is this unusual in that we have a president who owns all these private properties and, travels from one to the other and sort of living in this public world of being the president, but also having these private business properties?
The mingling of the public's business and his personal business interests in this administration is just unprecedented. And it's created a lot of questions about corruption. Mar-a-Lago, in many ways, is an invitation to corruption, because basically you can pay to become a member there. There's evidence, you know, ProPublica has done a lot of good stories about how Mar-a-Lago members have basically stovepiped policy proposals to the president, who has sent them on to agencies, to the Veterans Administration, perhaps among others. So, you know, it's a magnet for potential corruption.
Is part of the problem the China collection, connection, I should say? If she were an American-born businesswoman, would there be the same kind of concerns? But the fact that she has these or had these affiliations with some of these Chinese-related groups that had ties to the Communist Party in China, is that the concerning factor in this story?
I think this would be problematic under any circumstances, whether you're sort of a U.S.-born or a foreign national. But in this case, it raises potential espionage concerns. You had folks like Elliot Broidy, who was the Republican, a big Republican National Committee fundraiser, and who was going to Mar-a-Lago and squiring people around there, and while he was also working on behalf of foreign governments that he hoped to do business with. So I think there are, you know, anyone who is peddling access to the president and his family or members of Congress, you know, that raises issues.
And that's Daniel Shulman. He's the D.C. bureau chief for Mother Jones, joining us from the NPR studios in Washington, D.C., and has been covering the story involving a Chinese-born businesswoman and allegations of selling business executives access to President Trump, his family, and the administration as well. You can join us 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email. Any questions or comments, radiotimes@whyy.org. You can also tweet us at WHYY Radio Times to join our conversation. Kat wants to know, will these activities implicate the president, and could they lead to an investigation into him and his administration? Daniel, can we answer that question?
I think it's unclear at this point. My guess is that, you know, the White House has said that the president did not know Cindy Yang, and I would tend to think that that was true, and she wasn't, you know, she was just posing in pictures with him. But the Southern District of New York is currently investigating straw donors to the president's inaugural committee. And, you know, basically it was foreign interest potentially using middlemen, U.S. citizens, to donate. And I think that's where you could see the investigation happen. The big question is where, you know, was Cindy Yang donating purely her own money to the president and other Republican causes, or was she funneling it on behalf of others?
And just to underscore what you're saying there, it is illegal for foreigners to donate to political campaigns.
For foreign nationals. Green card holders can.
But if you're not a green card holder, if you are a foreigner without a green card, you cannot donate to a political campaign.
You cannot. And you can't do things like reimburse someone for the cost of a ticket to a fundraiser. So that's why there are some serious questions raised about this December 2017 fundraiser in New York. And the fact that this happened in New York also means that it would fall under the potential jurisdiction of the Southern District's investigation.
Oh, interesting. Was the president there at that 2017?
He was.
Party, right?
Yeah, it was a fundraising luncheon, I think.
And have you talked with Cindy or Li Yang?
No, you know, she didn't respond to any of our attempts to get in touch with her. We tried a number of phone numbers, and, you know, a couple times a man picked up and basically just said, I don't speak very good English, and hung up.
And hung up. So you're kind of and how about her company, GYUS Investments? Is that still functional? Do we know?
She took down the website. I mean, it's unclear how much of a company it actually was, how much business she was actually doing. Clearly, she was doing some. Yesterday or the day before, I think Cindy Yang's mother actually spoke out and just said, oh, you know, Cindy's always trying to impress people and sort of downplayed all of this.
You had mentioned one of her clients. Do we know how many clients she had that were, and do we know what they paid to have this access?
It's totally unclear. I mean, we've seen about, you know, a half dozen or more. In terms of this Republican National Committee fundraiser, she apparently kind of motioned to this large group of Chinese nationals that were there and said, you know, all these folks are with me. So it could be a fairly substantial amount. Now, she was also soliciting Chinese investments in U.S. projects through a special visa program called EB-5 that has been a bit controversial, where basically you can pay for, more or less pay for a green card by investing a certain amount in U.S. projects. One of them was actually a development that was about a half mile from Mar-a-Lago.
You actually tweeted out a story from Mother Jones just about a year ago, or actually 2 years ago, March 15th, 2017, a businesswoman who bought Trump's bought a Trump penthouse. And is that part of this story, do you think?
In certain ways, all of this is about conflicts of interest and the president mingling his private business with his with the public's business. And in this case, a woman named Angela Chen, who is from China, bought a $16 million penthouse from Trump in 2017. Now, this raises questions because is this evidence of, you know, China putting money in the president's pocket somehow? She, like Yang, had ties to groups that had at least one group that had government ties. And in fact, it was kind of seen as a front for Chinese intelligence. So that raises a major set of concerns.
I'm also looking at something else you tweeted, and this having to do with the party at Mar-a-Lago. So I guess this was the New Year's party. The president wasn't there because of the shutdown. Is that correct?
Correct. But his sons were there, and his sister, Elizabeth Trump Grau, was there.
And apparently one of the people there was a Russian, said the most interesting thing is that we met a lot of people who speak Russian at that party. Just to add to
it's fascinating, right?
To the story here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's sort of, Mar-a-Lago is kind of like that bar in Star Wars where it's just a collection of opportunists and schemers, and you never know who you're potentially going to meet there. Very much like the lobby of the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C.,
So what are you going to look at next? Where do you think this story goes, or are we at the end as far as you can tell?
Oh, I think, you know, my supposition is that there are many more Cindy Yangs out there. And I don't just mean people that might be exerting influence on behalf of China. I mean people that might be doing this on behalf of an array of other foreign governments, as well as people who are doing it on behalf of business interests. So I think that's where this story goes.
And is that corruption?
In my view, it is. You know, it's basically creating opportunities to pay for access to the president. You know, the people who are attending events at Mar-a-Lago or who are signing up for membership there, which costs $200,000 and $14,000 a year after that, are basically putting their money directly into the president's pocket. There's certainly, you know, that certainly raises the potential for corruption.
Do you think Congress has the appetite to delve into things like this?
Oh, I think this is certainly something that the House would look into. And, you know, the Government Accountability Office is also looking at a specific case where basically several Mar-a-Lago members were providing Veterans Administration policy